so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing. You've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice. Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy.
Well, church, it is my pleasure to introduce our next guest, who has a great calling and a passion to be a disciple maker and a church planner in Uruguay, and that is David Hawk. Let's give it up for him.
Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you guys here today, worshiping the Lord in song and preaching, looking to His Word, and also honoring the moms around here. Some of you are a lot older than I am. Some of you guys are younger than I am. But thank you. Thank you for giving birth to us. But before I preach from the Word, I want to introduce who we are. But we are David and Sylvia, or Sylvia Hawk. And I grew up as a kid missionary in Uruguay, South America. My parents are missionaries down there. My dad's a church planner, and my mom homeschooled all five of us, so that was her full-time job. But then she was also in with the ladies and helping them and disciple them and mentor them. And my parents, one of the things that my parents taught me to do was to love God and love people. And I accepted Christ as my personal Savior when I was 7 years old. My wife grew up in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and her parents taught her up in the way that she should go. And when she was 9 years old, she accepted Christ as her personal Savior. How we met is a long but short story. We met in August of last year. We started courting or dating October 15th. I asked her to be my wife December 9th, and she said yes. And then April 9th, exactly a month ago, we got married. So, thank you. And so we are going to be going to Uruguay, South America. And Uruguay is just a itsy-bitsy country right under Brazil, right next to Argentina, whereas Argentina has 43 million people, Uruguay has 3.5 million people. So we are not a large country, but the need for Christ is huge. And so we're going to be looking at some culture of Uruguay. Some of you might know a little bit about Uruguay. Some of you might have never heard of Uruguay in your life. So I just want to give you a quick rundown of Uruguay. But the culture of Uruguay, the language is Spanish. The population, we are 3.5 million. The capital is Montevideo or Montevideo. Gas is $5 a gallon. So we think it's expensive up here. We love soccer, and for many of them, soccer is a god. We have one of the best international teams in the world, and some even better than Argentina. We love our food. Uruguay consumes the most beef per capita in the world, and we also raise the best beef as well. Mate, it's a tea drink. It's not drugs. It's good for your health. If when we're done here and even after Sunday school, we have a little table set up over there. It might be old-fashioned, but it also helps you guys to know what Uruguay is. So we have a book over there. We have prayer cards over there as well. But then we have mate, the tea drink, over there. Not for you guys to test it, but for you to look at it. And that is Uruguay. And so while Uruguay is nice and good and we have rolling hills and we have beautiful beaches and beautiful sunrises and sunsets, that's not the reason why I'm going down there. A lot of people are also going down to Uruguay because they say the States is falling apart and we're going to go down to Uruguay to escape socialism and escape communism. Well, Uruguay has already been there for 20 years, so going down to Uruguay is not going to be any better. Uruguay has been characterized by secularism and hope in man for over 100 years. It is the most secular state in South America. That's why we are going. That's why we are going. The people need the Lord. Uruguay is falling apart as a whole. One out of four between the ages of 18 to 23, they don't work and they don't study. Suicide is the leading cause of violent deaths. 70% of marriages end in divorce. 50% of births are out of wedlock. Uruguay has legalized marijuana, abortion, and gay marriage nationally. And this is not something that I'm proud of saying, oh, Uruguay is worse off than the States. No, this is something that I wish that would never have happened to Uruguay. This is something that makes me sad. This is something that you see the economy and the infrastructure of a state, of a country, just totally waste away. This is the country that we're going to. In Romans 10, 14, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:14. And that's why we are going down, to preach the word. We preach Christ crucified, the only one who is able to save, the only way to get into heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's why we are going down, so that people are able to see the light, so that people are able to accept Christ as their personal Savior and trust in him to one day spend eternity with him. That's why we're going down to Uruguay. And would you please pray with us? Like I said, we have prayer cards back there by the table. Please pick one up. Stick it on your fridge. If you want to put the magnet over my face, that's okay. But please be praying for us. Please pray that we would have faith and that we would stay convinced that Jesus Christ is the only one who has words of eternal life. There is no other. There is no other reason to live. And Jesus Christ gives us that purpose that we need. And pray that God would continue to meet our needs financially, as well as with people backing us in prayer. We need both types of support. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have Christ and if you don't have a good relationship with him and if nobody's praying for you, that's going to be to no avail. But if Jesus Christ is somebody real to you, you know that he has provided in the past and he's going to only keep on providing in the future. And then please pray for ministry in Uruguay, that God would continue to soften hearts. In one of the last slides, you saw Uruguay has been characterized by secularism for over 100 years. Going down to Uruguay, there is no quick church plant. It takes 5, 10, 15, 20 years to establish a church, to establish its leaders, to establish faithful people. We're going down there for the long haul. We're not going down there for short-term missions for 1-2 years and saying, I did my work as a missionary. Now I can go live my life however I want. No, we're going down there to live, to be them, to be with them, to reach them, to love them. Please be in prayer for us. And we're with the Biblical Ministries Worldwide. It's a missions agency down in Georgia, and their website is wonderful and easy to get to. So if you have any questions, please go to them, ask me. If you speak Spanish, talk with Silvia, but please. And thank you guys for the time that you have given me here. And so please now open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy 4. And this is... it is directed toward the mothers, toward the young mothers, toward the middle-aged mothers, toward the elderly mothers. And I know I'm young, and so I want to speak graciously. I want to speak kindly, but I also want to challenge you all. But this is not only just for the mothers. This is for young men, young women, boys, girls, older men. Really old men. But this is for all of us. No one has a get-by card if you are in the family of God, if you are a born-again Christian. Look with me at 1 Timothy 4. And we're going to be looking at verse 12. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Let us pray. But dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another opportunity to breathe. Lord, thank you so much for waking us up this morning. for helping us to get out of beds and to come gather as a church, the body of Christ, the pillar and support of truth. Oh Lord, thank you for music, its theology and doxology. Lord, thank you for the ability to talk and fellowship, encourage and be encouraged, to discipline and be disciplined. Oh Lord, I pray that this would not just be a big get-together, but that it would also be a time of growth and spiritual edification. Father, thank you so much that we do have a reason to live and a purpose to live. Help us to put our eyes on you. Lord, I pray that your word would be real to us. We know that it's live. We know that it's living. We know that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So help us live in light of that. In your Son's precious name, amen. And so when I say I have 5 points, it's these 5 words: speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And I want to challenge you today. I know some mothers who have had a wonderful legacy. I know other mothers where their children have no care for their mothers. And when Mother's Day comes, they say, I don't want to write a thank you card or I love you, Mom, because she was never there for me. She never helped me. She never listened to me. She was so self-centered. She was so narcissistic. She was that, why would I want to write I love you, Mom? So I let my kids do that to their grandma. But then with some moms, their kids absolutely adore them. Some moms think they have failed. Other moms are super thankful for how God has brought their children up to love God. And so whoever you are, whatever type of circumstance you have had, whatever situation you have had, if you still have breath, God is still working on you and in you. If you think that you have failed, know that God forgives. If you think that you have conquered and think that you have everything perfect, stay in the Word, because it says whoever thinks he stands will fall. If you're in a position to mentor or disciple somebody else, do it. God has given us life for a purpose. Therefore, use the life wisely. But we know in 1 Timothy here that Paul is talking to Timothy as Timothy is growing up, as Timothy is becoming more and more of a leader, as Paul is writing him saying, hey, look, people might despise you, people might ridicule you because you are younger. And he's saying, don't let anyone despise who you are. Don't let anybody despise your youth. And in the same way, this is something for all of us Christians. And if you are a mom today, God is saying, don't let anybody despise you or ridicule you or make fun of you because you are a woman. No. The culture is crazy. Society is crazy today about who and what women are and who can become a woman or who. Just let's stick with the Word of God. Let no one despise you for your youth. Let no one despise you because you are a woman, but set the believers, set your brothers and sisters, set an example to them. And the first one that we look at is set an example in speech. Mothers, how are you as a mother setting a good example? To your husband, to your children, to your grandkids, to your coworkers, to whoever. Are you gracious or are you rude? Do you build up or do you tear down? Look with me in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, we're going to look at 25 and 32. And I have a lot of scripture that I'm going to be looking at. So have your Bibles ready, please. And if you can't get to all the scriptures, at least write them down so you know where to go in the future. But Ephesians 4, 25, Therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? As God in Christ forgave you. It's so easy to let our speech run away from us. Oh, sorry. It's so easy to cut down. It's so easy to belittle. It's so easy to be mean. But if you truly have the Spirit of God inside you, your speech is going to be different. In James, turn with me to James 3. James 3, verse 5, and then looking at 9 through 11. James 3, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Going down to verse 9. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? No, it can't. In Luke 6:45, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is dirty, your speech is going to be dirty. If your heart is set on God and on heaven and things that are true and pertain to godliness, your speech is going to be clean. And you're not going to cut down when it's so easy to cut down. And you're not going to be mean when it's so easy to be mean. And you're not going to belittle somebody when it's so easy to belittle somebody. But you're going to be kind and gracious and forgiving. And remember, church, I'm not just talking to the women. I'm focusing on them. But nobody has a get-by card. This applies to every single one of us. Speech. How are we with our speech? Number two, conduct. How are you as a mother setting a good example? Are you peaceful or are you angry? Do you forgive as you have been forgiven if you are a daughter, a child of God? Are you controlled or uncontrollable? And by the way we drive matters. It's a good thing I don't know any of you. How we act on the road, even to people who we do not know, matters. How we act in our house when we're alone with our children, and even though you have already given them 62 spankings already, are you still doing it because you love him? Or her? Or are you doing it in a fit of rage and saying, I can't do this anymore? How you are with your husband, even when he's a jerk, can you still love him? And this is hard, because we as husbands are not always going to be good. And someday we're not going to be walking with God like the way we should. But the Bible still says, love and honor. Respect. And if we start thinking, I'm only going to be good when the world treats me good, and then it's only a downward spiral. Because if the world never treats you good, then you're never going to treat the world good, and you're never going to treat your husband good, and you're never going to treat your sister good, and you're never going to treat your parents good, and you're never, and you just go down, 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 down. But if you say, okay, it's hard, but I know that I do have the Spirit of God indwelling me, and I do know that I can't do it on my own strength, but because of the Holy Spirit, I can, and I need to. And so when everybody else is throwing lemons at you, you start making lemonade, and you use a lot of sugar, and you start being this light. You start being a sweet-smelling aroma. You start being somebody who's positive. And yes, it is hard. But the Bible also says, rejoice always. and give thanks in everything and rely upon God in everything. What does 1 Peter 3 say? 1 Peter 3:8-9. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. And not only bless when they treat us good, because that's even what the world does, but bless when they curse. And that's what Jesus says. Looking at chapter 2, verse 21, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. And this is probably one of the best things that God has given to us. Jesus Christ has not told us to do anything. He has not told us to do anything that he himself has not done. He is not a coach standing on the sideline saying, okay, run 52 sprints, and the coach is this man who can't barely walk. No. Jesus says, do this. Know why? Because I've already done this. Do this, I've done it. Do this, I've done this. And I've got your back, and I've got your hand, and I will help you to keep on even when it is hard, and I will lift you back up when you fall. Christ also has suffered, leaving us an example. And then once again, in Luke 6:46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and not do the things that I have told you? Luke 6 is the parable of the wise and foolish man. In Luke 6:46, Jesus says, why are you calling me Lord? Why do you say this and then not do anything? Your conduct does not show that you love me. Because remember, in Luke 6:45, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Speech, conduct, love. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. And once again, I've heard of pastors who have used this chapter, and it's neat. Instead of saying, love is patient, love is kind, they say, mom is patient and mom is kind. Mom does not envy, mom does not boast. And that's good, and that's okay, but what if you didn't have a mom who was that? Well, then this verse doesn't apply. What if you do have trouble and it's hard for you to be patient all the time? What if it's hard for you not to be irritable or irritated? What if you're still breathing, God's still working on you. And there's always room for improvement. There's always room for, hey, I can have victory on this in my life. Let's start with verse 4 and going through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures everything. Love never ends. Looking at husbands quickly. Verse 7, love bears all things, even when you don't understand your wife. Love believes all things, even when you don't understand your wife. Love hopes all things, Even when you don't understand your wife, love endures all things, even when your wife has bad days. God has told us to love. And if we are the church, the body of Christ, we are called to love. How are we doing? But we need to love the right things. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away, and all the lust of it, along with all of its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. What do we love? What do you as a mom love? What is important to you? What calls your attention and what attracts you? Speech, conduct, love, faith. What you love will be reflected by the faithfulness of your actions. What you love will be reflected by the faithfulness of your actions. Remember, in Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Remember in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord and not do what I've told you? Look with me, 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Moreover, it is required of students, of stewards, of slaves, of doorkeepers, of maids, that they be found faithful. And that is what we are. Yes, you are a child of God. Yes, you are a son of God. Yes, you are a daughter of God. Yes, you are an heir to kingdom. Yes, you will one day have a mansion up in heaven, not made with human hands and eternal in the heavens. But we're also stewards and we're ambassadors. Are we faithful? What you love will be reflected by the faithfulness of your actions. And this is reflected in what Jesus said in Luke 6, once again. In Luke 6, verses 47 to 48. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man who's building a house. And who doesn't just build the house on top of dirt, but he goes and sees and plans and calls and makes an agenda, and has the backhoes come, and he has the trailers and the tractors and the dump trucks come, and they have it dug out, and the new stuff put in, and then packed down, and the new dirt come, and then packed down and arranged, and then you get the pipes and the wires, and then he builds his house on a firm foundation. That's what the wise man is. That's the one who hears the words of God and does them. Are you as a mom, a child of God, living out what you believe? Are you living out what you love? Speech, conduct, love, faith. For the last is purity. It's not only men who struggle with purity. It's moms as well. Young moms, middle-aged moms, older moms. We're all human. But we also have been bought with a price. And therefore, we need to glorify God in our bodies. Our bodies are not our own. They were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. What I love is, it says in 1 John, but when we do sin, even though we have no right to sin, we have a lawyer. We have an advocate with God the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the one who cleanses us from all of our sin. But mothers, how are you setting an example in purity? Are you clean? How is your speech, your conduct, your faith, your love? Are you pure in your speech? Are you pure in your conduct? Are you pure in your love? Are you pure in your faith? Purity, it covers the whole gamut of life. How are you? One day you will stand before Jesus Christ. And even though we have been bought by Jesus' blood, even though it has, that is the reason why we are entering into heaven, we're going to need to give an account of what we've done. In Philippians 4:8, Philippians 4:8, Paul writes, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And that's a promise. Oh, that we would love God. That we would also love all humanity with a pure heart. In Psalm 51, the psalmist cried out to God, saying, wash me thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse me from all my sin. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. If we come to Jesus Christ, he will make us clean. He will make us a new creation. He will put his spirit inside us, and we will be able to start anew. And if you are a Christian, and if you have fallen, we are able to take his hand, because he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us, and he is always with us, and he will always guide us, and he will always pick us back up. If you still are breathing, God is still working on you. Let us thank God today that he has given us the Holy Spirit to keep on working on us, and that he's never going to leave us. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are still working on us. Lord, it doesn't matter how old we are, if we still have breath, Lord, you have chosen to not let us die. You still see that we are moldable, that we are still teachable, that there is still hope for us no matter who we are or what we've done. Peter denied you and he was a Christian. Paul killed people and he was not a Christian. And Lord, you forgave them both. Help us to live our life in light of that. We love you, God. And help our life to show that. Oh God, let our prayer be, I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world has to offer. Let us be pure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. All that my hungering spirit needs, I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. Have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Let's give it up for David one more time and just the ministry that